Amen. Genesis 41, Genesis 41. Have y'all shared it yet? I'm going to be talking to the online audience, church online, Facebook, YouTube, all over the social media stratosphere on today. The Bible says, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I have heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I want to speak from a thought today. He remembered your name. I want you, if you're not too mean or stuck up, I want you to just point to that person next to you and say, he remembered your name. All right, that's the wrong person. They stuck up. Turn to the other person. Turn to the other person. They stuck up. Tell them, he remembered your name. Amen. Amen. Let's get ready to jump right into the Word of God. You may be seated. Amen. We're going to have some fun, so y'all just, you know, kick your feet up, grab some chicken wings and some coffee, and let's have some fun in the Word of God. That's one of the things that I love about atmospheres like this is that you go to so many churches and they're all uptight, but we like to laugh and have some fun. So I don't know if this church is like my church, but we like to laugh a little bit. Is that okay with y'all? Amen. Amen. We're in an age right now. We're in an age right now where actually you can go up to any fast food restaurant and get just about anything that you want, from steak to chicken to whatever. It's prepared so fast. It's prepared so fast because it's already processed. It's pre-processed food, and you know, you can get all types of stuff. I mean, just about, especially here in Atlanta, where you just got about every option in the world to eat in any place and get any type of cuisine. But I want you to understand that the vast majority of the people, probably in this room, probably listening to me, and probably across the country, they don't know how to prepare anything from scratch. Anything from scratch. Are y'all following me? How many of y'all remember some biscuits from scratch and some cornbread from scratch? See, it's about three hands up in here right now. Amen. I've been married this Friday almost 22 years, and one of the first heated fellowships we've had was over scratch cornbread. I made the mistake. We were early in, and I just wasn't taught right, and it's hard to live right when you hadn't been taught right. And I remember her fixing my plate, and I said, this Jiffy. We eat cornbread from scratch. My grandma cooks cornbread from scratch. She let me say it about two or three times, and then all of a sudden, something rose out of her that I had never seen before, and in 22 years, I haven't seen it yet. I mean, she was just that furious. I'm not going to tell you what she said, but just let me tell you, she blessed me out real good. And to this day, I don't even really like scratch no more. I mean, you know, I'm cool with Jiffy. I mean, me and Jiffy, we've joined forces now, and so I eat Jiffy just like it's scratch now. But I want you to understand that the bottom line with this instant microwave, 1 minute rice generation, we want everything fast. Yeah, do you realize that many of us are 10 to 15 removed in this particular generation from never seeing a phone booth? Many people have never even seen a phone booth. Even some in this room. And I remember years ago that my daughter, we were introducing her to something called a landline. I mean, you can see those things now. They're in the Smithsonian Institute, you know, these landlines. And so she picked up the phone and she said, what is that sound? We said, baby, that's called a ringtone. That's called a dial tone. And so you wait to hear the dial tone, and then you push the button of your desire, and then, you know, it'll make a call for you. And she was like, wow. But she had never heard of a dial tone before. And you got to realize, because this generation is not aware of process, we think that all we have to do is hit send, and it automatically happens for us. See, and when you've been born in a fast age, you begin to think everything and everyone must respond in a like manner, including God. The truth is that God doesn't respond to our temper tantrums. He doesn't respond to our frustrations. He doesn't respond to our impatience. Luke 21 and 19 simply says, in your patience, possess ye your soul. See, I want you to understand that this whole thing about process, I think it was about two and a half weeks ago, I sneezed really hard and I bust a blood vessel in my eye. And I became really self-conscious about it. Everywhere I went, I'm thinking everybody's looking at my eye. And it's starting to heal up now. It's just a little bit. Don't y'all be looking at my eye. But I'm at the grocery store and I'm like, you looking at my eye, man? I mean, now I was really self-conscious about it. And so, you know, I'm calling my eye doctor and I'm like, hey, Dr. Lynn Moore, I I believe I had popped a blood vessel or something in my eye, and it looks really bad. My whole right eye was just red. I mean, it just looks bad. And I was getting ready to go on vacation to the Dominican Republic, and I'm like, she wanna take 1,000 pictures, and I got this big old red eye I have to deal with. And so I'm very self-conscious about it. And so I asked the doctor. She said, "I'm sorry, Rich, you can't do anything about it. It's gonna take 2 to 3 weeks." My wife, practitioner, I said, "Babe, got to be something we can do about this." She said, "Nope, you're going to have to work, and you're going to have to just wait out this 2 or 3 weeks. I said, "I don't believe them. I know they got degrees and stuff like that, but I'm finna go to the person that knows everything." So I went to Google. I mean, Google knows everything, you know. So I went to Google, and I Googled this thing to see how can I get my eye fixed. And just sure enough, every article, including, WebMD, he tells us to be fruitful at a time that there were no children on earth. The reason he tells us to be fruitful knows that there's seeds on the inside of you that are laying dormant right now. There's seeds on the inside of you that could be used to bless thousands, if not millions of people, if you allow God to develop it. But we don't always understand process. See, because we pray for fruit, but we neglect the seed. But you got to understand that within a seed, there's so much fruit. That's why I would rather for you to give me a seed rather than an apple. Because if you give me a seed, then I can take that seed and I can grow an apple tree. And on that apple tree, there are going to be many apples. And then within those apples, I can take those seeds within that one tree. There's an apple orchard. There's an apple forest just within one seed. See, so we have to be careful of neglecting the seed that's within us. Now, he sends us seed because he knows there's fruit in the seed. In other words, there's a wife in the woman. Yeah. There's a company in the idea. See, you see a property, but God sees a campus. You see, because God, the way that he processes through seed. Somebody say process. Process, it comes from this old French word, which means a journey, continuation, or development. It further, it's conjugated from this old Latin word, which means to go forward, to advance, or progress. So in other words, that word process means that while I'm developing, I'm still going forward. Yeah, while I'm on my journey, I'm still going to new levels. I'm going to new heights. I'm experiencing new things. And so while you're in process, you're not supposed to stop. It means you're getting better. And see, I want you to understand that the outlet has been in process for the last couple of years, and God is about to give birth to some stuff. Oh, I wish I had a church in here that understood what I just said. In other words, there have been some ups, there have been some downs, but even during the down moments, you were still advancing because you were in process. While you were on your journey, you were still going forward. You were still making moves. You were still building because you're in process. And so the outlet has been in process for so long. And I want you to understand that every tree doesn't produce fruit every year. There are some things that it takes 10 years for that plan to materialize and to mature. So in our opening text scripture, this is what I came to preach. All of that was my introduction. In our opening text scripture, we have the most infamous story of my God named Jacob. Jacob is in process. He was thrown in jail by false allegations because of one of the thirsty housewives of Israel. He was in jail, and the Bible indicates that he was there for some time. And so we pick up in Genesis 40, 41, we pick up with the story of the cupbearer and the baker. The Bible says in Genesis 40 and verse 3, it says, "And so he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard in the jail, the same place where Joseph was in prison. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them, and he took," watch this now, "and they were in confinement for some time." Now, I love this because when I look at the text, the scripture indicates that they were in a bad situation. The cupbearer was in a bad situation. The baker was in a bad situation. Jacob was in a bad situation, because I don't care. If you're in jail, you're in a bad situation. I'm not trying to go to jail for anything. Amen. I'm not trying to even visit too long. Hey, my 30 minutes is up, brother. I got to get up out of here. Amen. But what this scripture tells me is that sometimes you got to make something good out of a bad situation. In other words, you got to learn to play the hand that you were dealt. Amen. Because sometimes you're dealt a hand and it has no spades and it has no luck. Come on now. Am I talking to somebody? And you wish that you can throw it in, and but you got to play that hand until the next hand is being dealt. Any spade players in the house now? You don't play spades? Somebody take her black card. We got to take her black card. My wife say she can play spades, but she be reneging all the time. You have to learn to play the hand that you were dealt. And this is what God taught me a long time ago. That there's some people can win with the hand you've been dealt. So this is why I don't complain about anything, because somebody wished they had your problems. Am I in the house? See, the Bible says he took care of them. And I thought this was interesting, because people in charge of you don't always take care of you. So Jacob, he took care of the cupbearer and the baker or what have you. But you have to understand that your care for others is a testament of your character. In fact, your character is displayed on how you treat people who can't do nothing for you. How do you treat the janitor on your job? How do you treat people who are subservient, in subservient positions or whatnot? Do you speak or do you walk past them like they're nothing? See, that's a testament of character. How do you treat people who can't do anything for you? Selah. The Bible says they were in a confinement for some time. A later text gives us context clues and what he was thinking at this particular time. He felt that he was in jail way longer than what he should have been. Sometimes God doesn't do what you think he's going to do in the time you think he should have done it. I couldn't figure this out until I got older and much more mature. And my grandmother and the saints of the old used to say that he's an on-time God. He may not come when he want to, but he's always on time. And I could not figure that out. But what she understood that I didn't understand in my spiritual infancy is that we serve a God that's a God of timing. Ecclesiastes 3 said he makes everything beautiful in his timing. That God has a time scale, and oftentimes his time scale is different from your time scale. And so God, he doesn't always do things in the things that you think, in the way that you think it should be done, and in the timing that you think it should be done. So in other words, we serve a God that has a panoramic view. God, we serve an omniscient God and an omnipresent God. Because he's omnipresent, he's already been to the place he's going to take you, but yet he's with you at the same time because he's omnipresent. But yet he's with you as you're going in your process, but yet he's there already waiting on you for when you get there. So if God, who knows the end from the beginning, he knows what your blessing is supposed to look like. He knows what your husband and wife is supposed to look like. He knows what your career is supposed to look like. So why not listen to a God who's already been to the place that you're trying to go? God's timing. And God's timing always can't be taught. Come on, just clap your hands with me. So you can tell this is a black church right here. See, because one of the first things that y'all waited on, y'all waited for me to clap a few times for you to catch it. God, y'all got to catch it. And God's time is the same way, that you got to find out what beat is God on, and you got to begin to catch it. You got to begin to catch it. It's kind of like double dutching. No, don't even jump rope no anymore. Now you got to be able to catch it. You got to be able to, God's timing. You got to be able to catch it. That means that sometimes I got to wait to see what God is doing so I can get on his beat. I can get on his timing. Let me give you something. Principles. What are principles? Principles are basically a fundamental truth or a proposition that serves as a foundation for our belief systems, and it actually shapes our behavior. These are principles. But what's different from a principle and a law is this statement of fact. It's a statement of fact that's deduced from an observation that to the effect that this natural or scientific phenomenon will occur and consistently occur if those conditions are prevalent. Meaning that if I stand in front of an Amtrak train, 100% of the time, I'm going to die. Why is this? Newton's law of motion. It says that an object that's in motion will remain in motion unless it encounters an object of equal or greater velocity, meaning that unless I'm heavier than the train is going to win 100% of the time. Let me give you another example. If we would decide to be daredevils and jump on top of this building, get on top of the roof, and we would jump off of it, we would fall straight to the ground and we'd probably break a leg or an arm or something, right? This would happen 100% of the time. Why? Because of the law of gravity. The law of gravity says because we weigh more than the air at that particular time, we're going to fall to the ground at 100% of the time. I want to give you a law. A law in the scripture, put this on the screens, we always reap in a different season than we sow. You don't plant greens and you don't plant tomatoes and you don't plant apples and it springs up in the same day or the same week. Many times if you were to plant something now, it would take months for it to mature. And what's interesting is that while the seed is in the ground, you don't see it's developing because seeds grow in the dark. And many of you right now, you're in the ground and you're in process and it seems like you're in a dark place, but you got to understand that the most important part of a fruit or plant or a shrub is its roots. And if you're not careful, you'll do what we've done in the past. You'll dig up your seed before it takes root. Are you hearing me? Are you following me? We reap in a different season than we sow. Genesis 8 and 22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, the cold and the heat, the summer and the winter, the day and the night shall cease. In other words, the harvest never comes immediately after you plant it. See, plants don't grow overnight. You don't lose weight overnight. Man, wouldn't it be great that if you could, you know, when you catch one of them info commercials like at 2 in the morning, that because they get you by 2 in the morning, you can't sleep, and the info, for $19.99, they get you every time. One time, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, they get you. You know, but wouldn't it be great? See, wisdom isn't gained overnight. What if you could have a baby immediately after seed was planted? Some of y'all have 14 kids right now. Process. Process, what do you explain? Why are you explaining process to us, Pastor Rich? It's because process is so important, and because we're in a generation where everything comes so fast that we often want to bypass process, and God doesn't work like America works right now. And this is critically important. In other words, what are you saying, Pastor Rich? Make it make sense. God has an appointed time for you. There's an appointed time. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under the heaven. I need you to catch this. Scripture and life itself teach us that for everything else. In other words, time is needed for you to grow and mature. See, there are some folk who gave up on you, but now they're taking another look at you because you're in a different season now. And they'll come up to you and say, ooh, I didn't know you was that fine. Oh, no, I've always been this fine. It just took a while for it to develop, baby. Y'all not talking to me. You see? So watch this. I love this scripture. Write this scripture down. I like unknown scriptures, scriptures that people don't hardly see. Write down Isaiah 50:11. Scripture talks about we light our own firebrands and light our path. And so what happens many times when things are not happening fast enough, we kind of get in the way and we kind of want to speed up the process a little bit. Genesis 40:5 says, then the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt, who were confined in jail, both had a dream the same night. Each man with his own dream and each dream with his own interpretation. See, the cupbearer and the baker, they both have dreams and need an interpretation. They had a problem with no solution. I don't know if this is going to be on the screens, but I want you to write this down. Problems are magnets to purpose-filled people. I'm going to say that again. Problems are magnets to purpose-filled people. In other words, when you pray away your problem, you may be praying against your purpose. Because the reason why a lot of folk that make a lot of money, that are high value folk, watch this now, it's because they know how to solve a problem that exists in the earth. Because purpose simply means your answer to a problem. My question to you is, what have you been called to be an answer to? If you go into a restaurant and you see people like, oh, man, why is her hair, her edges are splitting this and that? Maybe you've been called to be a beautician. Maybe you go into a store and you see somebody with a crooked line and a bad face. Maybe you've been called to be a barber. You see, you are an answer to a problem. And the truth of the matter is, whether you're 30, 40, 50, or 60 years old in this place, you're still an answer to a problem. And many people have not found that answer yet. What are you to do on this earth? That's your purpose. What problem are you supposed to be answering? So I've learned now not to pray against any problems. No, God, give me the solutions to the problems. Yeah. Because now I'm drawn to problems. I want to solve that problem. Because if nobody can solve this problem, it means that now I can determine my price. Y'all just missed that. You see? So I want you to understand this, that problems are magnets to purpose-filled people. I'm still watching the stage. Okay, all right, I just need to check. All right. They're locked up physically, but Joseph, he uses his spiritual gifts to interpret dreams. Did y'all catch that? Now, he's locked up physically, but he's using his spiritual gifts to interpret dreams. Pastor, make it make sense. Your spiritual condition can change your natural position. In other words, many times we focus on growing on the outside when we need to be focused on growing on the inside. Come on, I need to be a whole lot bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Yeah, in other words, begin to develop from the inside out. Begin to develop from the inside out. He helps them interpret their dreams. He helps others. Watch this now, when there's no one else to help. He's locked up, but he's helping others. Have you ever felt like that you're a giver, but you don't receive as much as you give? I want to speak to that population in here for a second. Yeah. It feels like you're always sowing, but then you wonder when is your harvest? You help everybody in their dreams, their aspirations, their business, their this, their that, and it seems like your blessing continues to pass you by. Have you ever felt like that? Come on, I want you to, how many of y'all ever felt like that? I want you to really look around. Because see, I want you to know you should not. I want you to look around and see the hands that are up. And see, I'm kind of one of those people, I love to cook. You know, when you follow me on Instagram and Facebook and stuff, you're going to see some food because I love to cook. But, and what's interesting about me is I love to cook with onions, but I don't eat onions. So every time we go to a fast food restaurant, the first thing that I do, onions come on that. No onions, please. And then my wife, she's one of those complicated people. Extra pickles, no mayo, add honey. I'm like, then next thing you know, we get to the window, we pay our food, and they say, you need to pull up. So now this 5-minute fast food run now turns into 20 minutes where now they got to drag, and then we hope they bring some ketchup out. But one thing that I learned is that when your stuff is special order, it don't come as fast as everybody else's. See, I came to tell somebody today that the reason why God, it seemed like he got you on pause is because you got a special order. And he's telling you that you need to pull up because he's getting ready to bring your stuff. Your stuff ain't going to look like everybody else's. Your stuff going to be fresher than everybody else's. Am I in the house right now? Somebody say, my stuff's special order. Come on, somebody. Go. It was Russell Simmons who said, good givers are great getters. So in other words, that if you continue to sow a harvest, that's a law in the earth. God, who does everything after the counsel of his own will, he can't break his own laws. So in the earth, if there's seed time harvest, that if I continue to plant seeds, that I'm eventually going to get a harvest. So your thing is that you have to be patient enough to know that what God has for you is not going to look like everybody else's. And this is the thing. People are going to see your blessing, and it's going to look like you came up fast. It's going to look like your church just blew up fast. But they don't understand that your seed's been in the dark all this time. Come on now, somebody. They don't understand that somebody was in the back taking them onions off and putting some extra pickles on and finding some honey mustard to put. Y'all not talking to me. Genesis 40 and 23, I gotta go, my time is up. Genesis 40 and 23 says, and the chief cupbearer, he gets out, right? He gets out of jail, he goes back to the palace, and the Bible says he did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. He just helped this guy get out of jail, interpret his dream, gave him hope. All the stuff that he did for the cupbearer, and the Bible says that the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. So he's sitting in jail, he's come through for others, and he's like, where is God? And I know what it's like to be frustrated, you know, to live a life of integrity, to do everything that you know to do. You're praying, you're fasting, and you're doing all of these works, and you realize that your favor don't go by works. And you're wondering, where is God in all this? Because I'm doing everything they told me to do. I followed all the equations, the 3 steps to faith and the 10 steps to prosperity. I've done it all. Where is God in this? Could you imagine how Joseph felt that I'm helping all of these people? They're getting out of jail, but now I'm sitting here. Can you imagine? I don't know about you, but I felt like that time and time again. Is there anybody in the house that ever felt like that? Where it felt like you're sitting on the side of the road like blind Bartimaeus and everybody else is passing you by. Yeah, it seems like it's taking so long for your blessing to materialize. In Genesis 40 and 1, he says, now it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he was standing by the Nile. My God, my God. He was standing by the Nile. After 2 years, the cupbearer forgot about him. The Pharaoh had a dream, and the cupbearer said, me know what? I was locked up in cell block 8 with a dude named JoJo. Yeah, he can interpret dreams. But y'all just missed that at the beginning of that particular scripture. What did it say? Now it happened. Now it happened. Pastor, what are you saying? 2 years and it happened. Dating 10 people and it finally happened. Released from 8 jobs and it finally happened. Lost 2 kids and it finally happened. 11 no's and finally it happened. You took the test 4 times and now it finally happened. Oh my God. My God, I don't know who prophetically that's for, but what you've been waiting for getting ready to happen. In other words, it's going to happen. In Genesis 40 and 1, it says this, now it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he was standing by the Nile. Go down to verse 14, it says, then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and he hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and he had changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. The scripture says they brought him quick. One translation says they brought him quickly. Now, the Hebrew here is the word yeritsu. It comes from the Hebrew term means to run, and it reflects Pharaoh's sense of urgency. So in other words, when it happens, it's going to happen fast. Y'all just missed that. We know it's going to happen. See, this is why you got to always be in a perpetual state of preparation, because when it happens fast. One person can call your name. Oprah can post one of my books and instantly I'm on the New York Times bestseller. Are you prepared for it when it happens? Do your character match your gift? Or will you get promoted and your character kill the position that your gift took you to? Are you ready? Are you prepared, outlet, for the thousands of people that's going to patronize you out? We called this over 10 years ago. I don't know if you know your pastors, but if you want a small church, this may not be the church for you, because your pastors have been called a mega. So now my question to you is that, have you flipped the switch to be able to be prepared for when thousands of people come in? I'll never forget this. My right-hand man, Pastor Marlon, he's over our dream team. And at that time, we had maybe 450 people that were just working in ministry helps. And I said, how many membership folders we have prepared? He said, oh, we have about 25 on any given time. I said, well, what happened if 50 join in a day? So I came back the next week. How many membership folders we got? Oh, we still got 25. The next Sunday, we had about 60 people join, and they didn't have enough folders. Y'all just missed that. You got to prepare for where you're going. You got to prepare. Outlet, I need you to shift. You got to begin to prepare. You got to begin to think bigger. Grant Cardone says 10 times. In other words, if you are at a certain level, you got to begin to think 10 times higher than where you are right now. Are you prepared for that? Genesis 40, the Bible says, Genesis 40, I got one more cough before I have to put on a mask. No, I'm just messing with you. Because you don't get number three coughs around me. That's it. Three coughs, I'm looking at. Genesis 40 and 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when they had shaved himself and he had changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. And I really need you to catch this. The Bible says that when he had shaved and he had changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Now, the Egyptians, they were known for their careful attention to personal cleanliness. I need you to really catch this. And the contrary to the customs of Hebrews and others, the Egyptians were allowed a beard and their hair to grow as a sign of mourning. As opposed to the Hebrews, they shaved as a sign of mourning. The Bible says he changed his clothes from the prison, from where he came, to fit to where he was going. Pastor, what are you saying? Y'all getting ready to go to another level. And it's going to happen so fast. But you can't go to new levels wearing old clothes. That means some of y'all are going to be pulled on a whole lot more. Some of y'all are going to be shifting in areas that best suit your anointing. Because you know that you can't go before Pharaoh and you can't go to a new level with clothes that look like this event center. Because God is shifting you guys. And every new level requires new things from you. There's new levels of responsibility. There's new weight that's going to be put on you. And I know the breakdown team, they're going to be really glad to not have to break down every Sunday. But then there's some other areas that you're going to be called upon. You got to change your clothes. Yeah. You got to change your clothes. Pharaoh was looking for someone wise to set over the entire land of Egypt. This is my last scripture. Are y'all still with us online? Are you still watching? Genesis 41 and 38. The Bible says, then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all of this, there's no one so discerning and wise as you are, you shall be over my house. Now, did you catch that, Pastor Vince, Pastor Ashley? He was looking for someone to set over his house. He was looking for someone to take his house to the next level. He was looking for someone that was going to manage everything. Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all of my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Verse 42, then Pharaoh took off his signet ring, and from his hand he put it on Joseph's hand, and clothed him in the garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. And the last scripture. And he had him ride in his second chariot. And they proclaimed before him, bow the knee. And he set him over all the land of Egypt. Here it is. We know the story of Joseph as we matriculated through Sunday school. Thrown in a pit because of jealousy. False allegations because of the wicked housewife of Israel. He had been lied upon. His name had been slandered. Now all of a sudden he's thrown into this position. He went in a couple of verses from the prison to the palace. And I don't know who this message is for, but God is telling you to get ready. As a church, he's telling you to get ready. My question to you is, are you going to be ready? Are you going to be ready? Everybody stand to your feet. Are you going to be ready?